Blog Talk Radio.
By Marco May. I'm your host and co-pilot, Michelle Mache. Hello, everyone in the chat. Okay, so I, you know, busy. I just tune in to Awakenings here, get in the switchboard of BTR, and everything has changed. So welcome those that are getting in the chat room, the sacred space of empowerment. Let's see, Todd, hello. Did the voice say Lost Souls Radio? No, Awakenings. Yeah, Lost Souls Radio in the switchboard, I'll tell you that much, because major changes, and wasn't aware of that. So anyway, welcome everyone that's coming in the chat room. Welcome everyone that's online. And hi, Todd. Did you see welcome? You should have seen me scrambling back here because I couldn't find the switchboard. I couldn't find the switchboard. So anyway, BTR, if you're listening to me, you really should send an email with the updates. I do this show as my community service, so I'm not in the back end at all except for my show. Anyway, great to connect with everyone, as always. And hello, everyone listening via iTunes, the archives, and, of course, Cosmic B, where it all began. Great to connect with you. Have a really, really great program today. Todd is saying, it's such a joy to be here with you in spirit, Michelle, and all you light workers. Oh, so true, so true. It's great to be with everyone. And we have a great guest coming up who was also featured in the June issue of Conscious Inspired Living, which is the online magazine that speaks to your soul, consciousinspiredliving.com. Lee McCloskey will be here with us. Amazing actor, writer, metaphysician, but we will be diving more into Lee and his soul-filled and soul-led living and some of the things that he has coming up on the second half of the program. We will be doing readings. Let me know how the sound is also in the chat. I see everyone getting in. Started slow, highlight. Hi, Monopoly, Todd, of course. I'm sure Tamara will be coming as well, and whomever else comes in. And as usual, if you do have a question or a comment, if you do press, I think it's still the same. I don't know. I might just, because I have no clue about the switchboard. And it looks nice, by the way, those of you that are also BTR hosts. It looks great. Let's see, Monopoly, I've seen Lee's artwork last year and loved it. Oh, great, great. So some of you are aware of his work. That's great. Yeah, pretty amazing. Pretty amazing guy. I love his take on creating also. So anyway, if you are online and you want to be heard, I think it's still press 1 on the keypad. However, I may just... Even if I don't, if I see you in the line and you're at work or you're driving and you just really want to listen, just I won't be offended. Just say I'm just listening, because the switchboard is so new to me. I love this little change. Going to get into. By the way, so if the number to call in for questions 347-539-5122. I also at the top of the hour want to give you right now some resources from me. And also some astrological resources from some astrologers that I happen to like. I love astrology because it always dovetails or gives a concrete, you know, meaning you can hold, because you've got the chart, holds what's happening on a molecular, cellular, energetic, galactic, cosmic, and cosmological level, if you will. So our changes really can be mapped out by the transits, if you will, that are happening in astrology. So it's great, it's really great to have that, you know, it's really great to have that as a guide. So one, I'm going to list a couple resources on my end, which is the Daily Ohm course. If you go to dailyohm.com, and I have a course really that's about navigating the shift, soul alignment, finding your soul's purpose, finding your soul's tribe. It's really about what the shift is really about, which is about the soul alignment. It's about the converging flow. It's about us all coming back together, things, yes, breaking down to create new structure so that we are living in a new world, which is already really here already, but we don't yet have the structures, and that's even relational structure. So that's at dailyohm.com. And again, you can go under authors, Michelle Mache, or you can go, the course name is 2012, Navigate the Shift. And then the selfinlight.com also has some great resources that you can either download or print out, and or both. Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living.com. And if anybody wants to put these in the chat, that's great. Let's see. And then the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Michelle Mache. On the astrological side, we've got divinemystic.com, PiscesSolutions.com, and AquariusPapers.com. And, of course, Robert Wilkinson was on the program last week. Let's see. What's the difference between cellular and solular? Ooh, interesting. Okay. Well, the cellular is more in a denser physical manifested form, where the soul is not yet in form. That's why we have a physical body. That's why we have a denser, it's all physical, but just varying degrees of physicality or energetics. So when we first start separating out, we have actually incarnated or come into this, the etheric field, into bunches of grapes. We do have a soul tribe. We do have those that we resonate more with. And from that, we have the individual soul. So there's different layers of souls. There's a collective soul. There's the individual soul. Some even believe shamanically that there's a mental soul and emotional soul. So we're in the path of return. And the path of return is the soul alignment. Okay? So that's what this, you know, we're moving from reaction to response. We're moving from lack and scarcity to abundance, and we're moving from competition to collaboration. And what happens is the emotional body gets cleared. It gets clearer. You're not reacting, and we're not creating such extremes in disparity or manifested form. So in essence, if you want to call it the great experiment, the great unfolding, God getting to know God as itself, that required an individuating out. And we talk about that, obviously, you know, psychologically, developmentally. You know, think of, you know, the great womb, the Mother Earth womb. We all extend at some point out of the womb, but we're still connected. So we've gone as far as we can individuating out. We've come to know ourselves as individual expressions of the all that is, or God, however you want to term it, and all that creates, the competing, the I, the you. That's why we're moving from the me to the we. It doesn't mean there won't be any more me or individuality, because that's what we're doing on these step-down or denser vibrations. Even from the, you know, obviously fourth, fifth, even sixth dimension of experience and expression, those dimensions were still in manifested form. And by that term, manifested form is going to mean that something is individualized. It's separated out. But in the path of return, which is the soul alignment, the personality begins to recognize and see itself as a soul. And it begins, first there's a separate, like, there's my soul and there's my personality as an extension of the soul. At some point in the soul alignment, there's a fusion that takes place and the recognition that there is no difference. This is going to sound a little gross, but I don't know why. This is the only example I can think of right now. Just imagine, you know, a lot of times when a leg gets cut off, a limb gets cut off, it still moves, okay? So, and to some degree, it's still, if you will, connected, okay? So, we are the same. And so, you know, and I don't want to get in, there's a lot, one, you know, sometime we will, or people call in, get into the intricacies of the various games that are being played out with the dimension, with the different dimensional beings, you know, galactic beings, various species. But bottom line is, at some point, there will be the great remembering that we are all one and from one source. So it's almost like the left hand fighting with the right hand or the thumb fighting with the pinky. We're still playing that out to degree, you know, whether you want to term it Graves, reptilian, those are the reptilian brain, or you want to say it's the politicians and the, you know, the warmongers and the peace, those that want to create peace. Those are all being played out in shadow and light. They're being played out in the astral plane, and we're experiencing on this dimension. This is why, and I want to touch on this before we get to calls. And again, the calls are 347-539-5122. I will get to the calls for readings, also any dream work, dream therapy, or clearing work or repatterning. If you're feeling stuck today, we can also bring that in. I'm trained in the Jungian focus of dream therapy and Sanoa dream therapy. I've got a lot of emails. This is why I want to touch on this, and clients as well that are having nightmares, major dreams that seem like they're real, and a lot of fear. Some of the fear, obviously, is uncertainty because things are very up in the air. I'm calling this the great time of not knowing, or in a phase of not knowing. But we all have to remember, who is not knowing? It's the ego. It's the personality. The ego personality. It's the constructed ego personality. So the great return, there's two different things. The law of return is one of the universal laws, where things that are meant to be come back to us once, twice, three, sometimes more times. Just depends on our soul path. To see, do you want this again? Do you want this opportunity again? Do you want this experience? That's the law of return. This is called the great return, or the return, or the path of the return. If you're talking esoterically or metaphysically, it's the path of return. And that's where we begin to come back up. In other words, so we've descended. That was the descent. It wasn't into hell or anything awful. It was descending into matter, connecting more with matter, to individuate out, to see what matters to us, our little slice of who we are in life. So we descended. The ascension is simply going above duality. We descended into duality, or descended into the polarity plane to play it out. So now, instead of thinking that there's hot and there's cold, or there's hate and there's like, because in my world, love, there's no opposite to love. It's complete on its own as a vibrational frequency. So now the recognition will be, oh, they're the same thing. They're the same energy, just different qualities or different degrees of that energy. So we're moving less and less, moving out of, so we will have less and less dual pullings, duality, less extremes on the dual plane. This is why some people call this, you know, the oneness or oneness movement or unity consciousness. And again, it's not to say that we don't individuate out, but it's to recognize the other plane. And that is hugely a big component of the ascension. As we ascend beyond the dynamic extreme play of duality, we rest in the center. And that is dhyana, that is vipassana. That's the dhyana meditation, is resting in that center. Even if you're feeling fear or pain, you can still feel the joy. So you rest in the center of that. You still, no matter if you're feeling cut off from people, or let's say you had a breakup, something's going on, you still feel connection to that person because you know that you both are one. You both are from the same source. You are source. So as we ascend more, we move out of the machinations or the extreme outpicturing and the experiential play, if you will, of the astral plane, which the astral plane corresponds to the emotional body. This is why so many people are having nightmares right now, and there's so much fear that's coming up. We've got to clear those old images. We've got to bring light to them. Not all things in the astral plane are bad. It's just junky. It's like going into an attic. You know, so let's say we're on floor number one, okay, we're all living and doing our thing. Now as we ascend, we're bumping into the attic. And not too many people's attics is orderly. Some people's are, but we're not talking about our own personal attic only. We're talking about the universal attic. There's a lot of junk in there. There's cobwebs. There's some good finds in there also. So what's being cleared is all of our hopes, fears, our wishes, our negative impulses. This is going to get even more extreme as we wind into the end of this year and into the following year. The nightmares, the worst case scenarios is coming up for everybody. I absolutely suggest, I'm going to start using again, my Transforming Fear into Creativity. It's a meditation process. It's on my website, selfenlight.com, and it helps you re-qualify and recalibrate the energy. It gives you some things to do with the what ifs, the fears, the concerns. So as we're clearing the astral plane, we are moving more into causal existence. The Aquarian age is termed I know. Okay, so we're moving into the knowingness of who we are and living from that space. We've worked through I think, I feel, I am, you know, an Aries, you know, a lot of these. But see, if you think about it, we move from faith to belief. And from belief, we work into knowing. I know things are going to be okay. Not intellectual knowing, but I like to call this knowingness, that we know that we have a higher self. We know that if we're freaking out, it's the ego because it's losing control and it can't see what's being co-created. It can't see what's around the corner, so to speak. Can't see what is evolving. And then you know there's spiritual practices, spiritual tools to help that handle that, mental, emotional tools, physical tools. You know, yoga, exercise, running, and there's relational tools, reaching out to each other. So, again, so we're moving from the emotional of I feel, and as that gets cleared, we move into inspiration and aspiration. We want to do something with our energy in motion besides be into trauma, drama. We want to do something. We want to create something. We want to experience and express something. This is also why if you see now on TV how many creative shows there are, you know, The Voice, which I'm actually loving, America's Got Talent, So You Think You Can Dance, and I know there's others on other stations as well, or there's things, Dare to Dream, or You Can Lose the Weight, Go For It. These are all expressions of the soul. These is the way the soul likes to play. The soul isn't really into competition. It's into shining. It's into uniqueness. And in essence, we took our uniqueness, our individuality too far and went into us against them or me against you or you against me. And the soul says, you can do it. Let's go. Let's all express. So you're going to see more and more programs, more and more magazines, more media in general that's helping people free up. A lot of people think, oh, because it's making a lot of money. Well, that's a part of it, but that's such on a lower level of expression. It's because we are in the age of the soul, which is the age of creativism. It's the age of creativity, self-expression, shining your light, but not at the expense of others. The soul expression says, you can do your thing, I can do my thing, we can do it together. It's, you'll see less and less elitism. You'll see less and less. This is why reality shows are becoming also so popular on that level. And I don't mean the ones that are catfighting or whatever, you know, but those have their place too. I mean, they're living out a certain, you know, paradigm and certain vibrational frequency. But you'll see less of those. You will see those that are focused more on transformation, transition, inspiration, and aspiration. Now, concurrently while that's happening, we have those dreams, the nightmares, the fears coming up because we're all clearing our individual and collective closets, if you will. Okay? So, you know, not to worry. A lot of people are going through this. I've had some panic emails, and, you know, and I don't blame you, where people are saying, what is wrong with me? What, you know, I'm really having a tough time of it, or does this mean these things are going to happen? Is something bad going to happen to me? And you're clearing, you know, you're clearing the attic. We cannot ascend. I say this over and over, whether I want to call the astral plane the attic of the universe, it's the Akashic realm, whether you want to say it's the freeway, you know, you're taking a drive or going on a country road. It's the roadway. It's the highway up the Shishamana. It's up, you know, it's the funnel of light we have to go through. And it's cloudy. It's junky. It's got stuff in there. So we're going to be bumping up against our own individual worries and concerns, plus the universal, the collective. If you're very open, if you're an empath, chances are, you're not only clearing for yourself, but friends and family and on a societal level. So one thing you may want to ask yourself is this my stuff or not? Okay. Because we're so open. I just realized certain things I can't watch right now. I went, woo. I'm even, and this has happened to me before, but years and years ago. And then, of course, I don't know, you kind of build an immunity to it. But when you come to the next level, you're like the innocent. You're fresh again. And I realized one more, I woke up with some dreams. I thought, boy, these dreams are interwoven with this weird thing I saw on TV. And I'm like, I'm too open right now, you know. And you can clear it. It's up to you. It's just I don't want to spend all my time, you know, doing all that. I want to fortify a bit more. Before kind of going back into the collective, you know, mishmash of it all, the big stew pot. So ask yourself, is this my stuff or is it someone else's? Is it what I've been watching or is it what I'm really feeling or believing? And there's a lot of tools. My 5-step emotional clearing process helps with this. Definitely the transforming fear into creativity. My ascension meditation, or the alignment meditation, and the crystal temple of healing. I suggest a lot of meditation, you know, movement. I've really been loving my Pilates reformer for this. Anything with gliding motion, anything fluid, anything that gets you out of the head, okay, anything that gets you into feeling the oneness and feeling that connection to the higher self is going to help you clear some of these nightmares, you know, extreme dreams, fear states right now, because a lot of it is up in the collective, but it's also up in all of us individually, again, to ascend. This is as we ascend higher, each level, we come into more extreme stuff, because we do have the ability and the soul connection to clear it or move through it. Let's see, little lighter thing. Often I feel I cannot move an inch in any direction, like a heavy weight is holding me in place. Inwardly, I hear just sit and be at peace, but outwardly, I feel the need to get things done. You know, really good point. You're going to have to balance that out because right now it is about going deeper. I wrote a blog post on this about if you feel like you're stuck in the mud, what can you plant? So the stuck state that everyone is feeling right now, or most people, is really about going within, feeling what direction you're feeling like you want to go in or nudge, not from the intellect, but from that subtle energy pull, or getting your house in order. And that could be mental, emotional, physical, the physical body. That could be your literal house. What needs gotten rid of? Is it a belief, an idea that's holding you back? Is it cleaning out your closets, cleaning out your house? Is it that you've been isolating too much and you need to be more social? Have you been a lot, very social and you need to connect more into your individual being? Forms of self-expression, creativity right now really help with this as well. Getting in nature. Spent a little time at a wonderful retreat, private retreat, this weekend, just to sit, just to reflect. But we do have the conditioned pattern response of the doing. I've seen a lot of people, and they're gonna. You may not see the mistake now, but you will see it either towards the end of the year or by next year if you jumped out of something or into something, or moved away, or moved into something, or quickly left a job out of fear. Is it not enough money? Maybe I better find something else. We're still cooking. All of us are simmering. So we need to go, we need to learn. See, it's just the ego that's like bucking like a little bronco for movement. We need to learn that movement sometimes is within. Movement is sometimes right where we are. Movement sometimes is just chanting or meditating. Movement sometimes is just sitting in a wonderful, relaxing lawn chair and looking out in the garden. So there's many forms of movement, but we've been trained that movement is to take action, to do something, you know, to sell this, buy this, leave this, go here, do, you know, it all ego, outer movement. So we're all being really called and challenged to move within, to learn about a different type of movement. And many of us that have been on a path a long time know this and have been doing this. However, I will tell you, it's at a much more high pitch, fever pitched. It's much more extreme now. It reminds me, perhaps, of, I don't know if it's paragliding. I'm trying to think of some of those gliders. When I've talked to some people that do that, they'll say, you know, or high-speed racers, you know, they'll say, you know, when they're racing at such high speeds, a slight shift of the body or of the hands on the steering wheel causes a much greater accident than if you're going at 5 miles an hour and you jerk. So we're at a faster speed. We have already shifted to the degree that our vibrational frequency is a lot higher, a lot faster, is clipping, is at a more expansive rate. And our mental, emotional, physical bodies are having to still adjust. So in knowing that, it is to take care in what you put in motion. Because it is like that saying, the wave of the hand, I'm waving my hand out, is felt in China. It's felt hundreds of thousands of miles away energetically. So we're going to be living more and more into that space where we understand what I put in motion, what my intention is. If you're not clear on your intention, get clarity. Find ways to get clarity. Wait. Because we're moving at a faster clip, our consequences will be more extreme. Just at this point, till it evens out a little bit and we get to understand these energies and manage them better. So, Light, very good point. Divine Mystic is put in the chat, simmering or full boil, Michelle. Ha ha ha, or going between the two. Yeah, good point. Sometimes boiling, sometimes simmering. We got to be comfortable in one. How do you rest in the center? You know, I'm open. Please, you know, any suggestions that you have, I'd love you to share them either on the Awakenings page on Facebook, on my blog, you know, post it. Post how, you know, I've got the 2012 Navigate the Shift Ascension and Soul Alignment is also on Facebook, another group. But share your insights right now. Each and every one of you has valid insights because you're going through this. So what you share, believe me, I get a lot of feedback that, I feel such a great community here. Thank goodness this person posted this. This really helped me. I'd like to hear, you know, call in, you know, 347-539-5122. Call in Awakening. But even better, so that it stays around for a while, post it on, you know, the Awakening's Facebook page, what you're seeing in the Awakening. What is the Awakening? It is the soul alignment. It's as we waken more and more to the truth of who we are and express and experience this, live by this. And therefore, then, the patterns of existence, the patterns of society, the patterns of structure, the patterns of our systems change to allow this frequency through more. But again, not you know, I don't know about you, but I don't know that I would be a great race car driver. You know, I'm not big. I like speed straight ahead. I don't know about the turning, you know. So each of us has our own issue of what we're comfortable with this vibrational frequency of how fast we're going and what's happening. Todd says we bring the light and move all with it. Yeah, but it's all light and dark. I mean, it's all the same. That's part of the ascension where we'll begin to see that light and dark are on the same polarity plane. And eventually, the dark will not have ignorance. It will be more from the potential. It will be more from the possibilities or the unknown. It won't be seen as scary. So that's also why the nightmares is to work with that, the shadow and light within ourselves, individually, but also collectively. Okay, so I hope, let's see if I've got... Hello, 646-824, you're on Awakenings. Did you have a question or comment?
I got a question, Michelle. It's Earth One. How are you? And I got to tell you, you were... Hello, honey. I got to tell you, you're right. You saw me doing something where there would be a poster with a group of people, and I'm interning at a theater, and now I'm going to be in children's theater with them, and there's posters and things. It's a group.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I was wondering if you saw anything. I applied for this job at the radio station, didn't get it, but was told that the person that has it might leave, and there would be a possibility later on, because I'm still working a couple of jobs that are too low-paying for my needs, and wondering if you see any change with the job at the radio station or anything with money coming in.
Something down the road. Is that for programming?
No, this is more, it's more admin, but then I also, you know, would like to do a show there eventually, and I'm interning there too.
Yeah, you could. Well, I do. Okay, because I was going to say, I see you interning. I see you there for a bit. I do see some opening, but I feel more work there after the summer, probably September, October, and even more into next year. So if you're interning, it might be more that. And you may be working with somebody in regards to programs or programming. But I am hearing to stay with it. It's just going to take a bit more time. And I do see the stuff with the kids really taking off, and more happening with like performance art as well, or almost like theater or something. I also see around you. So it's getting there. You're getting close. It's just going to take a little bit longer.
Okay. And anything with love life? Can I ask you that?
You know what? I'm going to have to because I went over.
No worries.
Call in next week and I'll answer that. We're going to have to limit it just to one.
Got it. No worries.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
I'm so glad, though, that came about for you. Blessings.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Michelle.
You're welcome. Blessings. Hi, 317-837. You're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Is that me?
That's you. Hi.
Okay. Hi.
What's your name? Hi.
I'm Diana from Indiana.
Hi, Diana. Welcome.
Welcome. And I guess if we have to have one question, then, hey, I haven't done the man one for a while.
Okay.
Do you see any men coming into my life? It's been a long, long time.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, I'm fine without
so.
Them, and I'm not looking. So there's really, I have no idea what you'll say.
I do feel so. Now, was there a George around you by any chance?
No, I don't have any.
But not even in the past?
I know about a past life, man, but in this life, never had a George.
Okay, but that's what I'm talking about. Okay, so he's for some reason around you right now. Let's see, George, what is he?
I actually do think there is a past life man who's came back when I did. And I've always had dreams that we were going to meet, so.
Yeah, I feel, you know what, I feel more, yeah, I keep getting that. Probably, I would say November, December, there's a little, almost. And then I feel it's more next year, February, March, I feel spring. I don't know what it is with the almost guy. I feel like it's around the holiday time. It could be an introduction somewhere. I feel a group setting around it, but small group. I feel like in someone's home. And I feel a lot of similarity. He could be a metaphysician or researching or just open to, you know, the path or changes. I do feel he's perhaps either recently divorced, widowed, separated. There's some kind of heartache that he just got through.
Or else it's just now starting to happen. But, yeah, I think that he is starting to lose the woman he's with. Now, is this the man from the past life? Can you get that kind of an answer?
Well, yes, they both are. But the other one I feel that comes later is more of the partner. This one I feel is more, you know, I just see two hearts come. I see both your chests coming together. It's like a kiss of the soul. It's heart to heart. It's a heart connection.
Oh, that could be me getting closer to my brother because my mother just died.
Okay.
That first
wonderful,
one that you're talking
wonderful.
About is...
Wonderful opening there. But the other one, the one that I see you actually with, I feel February, March.
And that makes sense because, you know, this would be the first time I've been close to my brother, losing
my
heart on him.
Sometimes it happens like that. We heal, you know, father, sibling, whatever the relationship is.
But the one
all right,
coming
Diamond,
in,
thanks for calling in. We got to get just one question. Okay, 678-608. Hi, you're on Awakenings. Maybe
hello?
Just listening. Okay, hello.
Hi.
Yes. Did you have a question or a comment? We've got just one question or comment, then we get to our guest, which should be coming on the line soon. Hello? Okay. All right. Well, if you have a question or a comment, the number is 347-539-5122. If you do not get your question answered to get on air, you can also please call back next week, Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific time. So, like I mentioned at the top of the program, we have with us today as our guest is Lee Miklowski. He was the feature in Conscious Inspired Living in June, which is all about soul expression. And let me tell you, through my interview with him, I really realized he's one of the few people that is really living a soul expressed or soul, I like to say soul filled and soul fueled life. Highly, highly creative and sharing his creative expression with others, as well as helping others open up to their own creativity, which I think is fabulous that he is giving back. So in many ways, you could call Lee Miklowski a modern Renaissance man. He is an artist, author, actor, and visual philosopher. He has deeply explored the archetypal and hidden aspects of the psyche through his art and experiences as a professional actor for many years. And also, he combines a thorough knowledge of hermetic wisdom, depth psychology, and mythic imagination. He's published 7 books. Just going to give you a list of those. Tarot Revisioned, In the Splendor, Adam Reborn and Eve Restored, A Romance in 2 Parts, Volume 1, Codex for Winter Solstice, Volume 2, Codex for Summer Solstice, Volume 3, Codex for Equinox, and Grimoire, Book of Magical Spells by Lee Miklowski, which was also used for the Rolling Stones' Bigger Bang Tour and was created for the film Shadow of the Vampire. He's also a part of a 3-day seminar that's coming up at the Pacifica Graduate Institute, which the focus of that is psyche and soul. It's psychodynamic diagnosis of personality disorder. Also, this will be done with Dr. Matthew Bennett. And this is July 29th, 30th, 31st at the Pacifica Graduate Institute. So, Renaissance man, artist, I like to call him an expressionist. Welcome to the program, Lee.
It's great to talk to you. How are you?
Yay, Lee. It's great to have you on the program and just share all your insights. I'm excited to have
you
here. Some people have already known of your work, by the way, your art. So that was nice to see that as well.
Oh, and that's good to hear as well.
Yeah. So we've been talking a bit, and which I always find it just, you know, a wonderful synchronicity that the beginning of the program, what we've talked about, it usually dovetails perfectly with the guest. The guest has some knowledge and usually expertise, you know, in the area. And one of the things I wanted to touch on just from the get-go before we get into your background and such, we've been talking a lot about clearing astrally and people having nightmares and dreams, you know, very extreme dreams right now, a lot of fear coming up. And at one point in our conversation, our chat with the listeners, I thought, oh, this reminds me of when we did the feature for the Conscious Inspired Living, when you were saying how you used your art as a way to move that energy, to get more into yourself, your own soul, your own psyche, and know what was going on. In light of that, Lee, what do you suggest to our listeners to do at this time to move through this energy, or how to manage it, or deal with it, I guess? Any thoughts to that?
I think that the first thing that we need to do is to give ourselves permission, that we have to become the permission givers. Oftentimes we resist our own energetic mentoring, and when things become extreme and the energy starts to amplify, it's dissolving our old patterns, and so it brings a lot of fear with it. And because it is energy rather than form, consciousness that is awakened by the intention we put into it, what I found over the years, and especially when I had a long number of years of lucid dreaming and out-of-body experiences, I learned that there was a great relationship between how we think. Almost, I would say, if a person's experiencing difficulty or nightmares, to give themselves permission before they fall asleep to become conscious and to willingly understand that what they're experiencing is energy, and that what will dissolve the darkness is absorbing rather than resisting, and the illusion or the outward effect will become lessened. It's almost as if you would say what's being translated is a very large wave, and so it comes at us with images and forms and fear, but it's saying, let your body move with this energy. You will no longer be undone by it, but your resistance will amplify, essentially, the difficulty you're having. It's really a type of Aikido. It's learning to, and it's, as I say, we must be vigilant. We must do this incrementally by giving ourselves permission to say, I will, when I become fearful, when I was in the dream state, I learned to breathe out through the top of my head to circulate the energy down through my feet, and to do this as a type of breathing. Almost you would say, if fear approaches and we can breathe deeply, we oxygenate our perception, and it allows us more choice rather than just reacting. We can start to say, I know what this is. This is energy, so I will embrace it rather than resist it. You see, and this is what, because we're moving from a reactive universe to a co-creative universe, which means we will each have a type of holographic responsibility to say, these are my energies, which are trying to be restored to my conscious usage, but I must take responsibility for them. Therefore, they're mentoring me, even if I don't understand how they are doing it. It's a bit, we can use the image of being thrown into the water at night, and what is teaching us is the water itself. It's saying, you're a great swimmer, dive in, and we've been thrown into the waters. And what's going to happen?
So, Lee, are you saying that these images that we all are seeing is really energy, but it's coming through in scary images?
Absolutely. It is, and we can take the quantum field look at this. In other words, whatever we put into the energetic field, we have reflected back to us. I found this when I would encounter demonic or witch-like figures in the lucid dream state, and I realized that they really were simply holding an energy pattern, a bit like an actor in a play, that was almost saying, until you are no longer afraid of me, until you can come and realize that I am your own creation, you will tremble before me. But at a certain point of your maturity, because you trust your own energies more now, you will see that I am not really this dark figure, more that I'm part of a symbolical landscape that says you must understand, as in music, there is both a minor and a major chord. There's the same thing in the symphonic nature of consciousness. What's happening now is so much is opening up. But if you look at the outer world, there's also a flood of images and information, and people are, to a great degree, drowning in both worlds. But it's teaching us to swim. That's why I say we are moving into a type of artistry of consciousness that says it's no longer a belief system, it's a participation system.
Mm. Oh, I love that, a participation system. Yeah.
Because
why does it come through
images,
in images?
You're feeling, and you start to. This is why I said about, you know, you asked me about the art. When I was studying acting at Juilliard, I could not connect with this the violent energies I needed to find for a character, and so I started to take from an example of a calligrapher I'd watched who talked about prana and chi and this relationship to breath. And I thought, well, if I start to use paint not as an artist, but rather as a medium of creation where I could connect with these energies, I will see what I can draw out of myself. And that's why I say the art that people know and they look at now is based entirely from this energetic premise, because I had so much energy, I had to learn how to navigate it. There's an old expression, we are either living or being lived. And that's why a lot of the things I try to teach people and share with people is once we can take it out of ourselves, and as I say, stop worrying about being an artist. It's about being a creative adventurer and using the tools of creation for that adventure. Paint is our oldest medium. Paint in our imagination. And that's why a lot of times, even if people get it out of themselves and it's dark and this and they don't like what they're looking at, I say ritually then allow it to, you know, burn it. Allow it to be something that you've birthed out of yourself. You're allowing to create a form, and then if it's something you like, treasure it as you would a child. Don't share it for critique, but begin to build your own garden of, I like this version of myself better. I like this way of being human more. And that's a creative choice we all make with our consciousness. We either choose fear, or we choose a sense of, with this fear, I will learn to swim better. You know, because we're navigating consciousness. It's not a static thing. It's not a place or location. It's, you know, we're the whole thing. We are the holographic suns, S-U-N-S's. Mm-hmm. And that's a big shift.
That is
we're
a
all
big
involved.
Shift. And is it... remembering this, or people learning this, that we are all of it. It is holographic.
I've really learned that in the same way we went through puberty, the same way we fall in love and we never figure out what these things are, but they transform us because they engage us and say, there is nothing to figure out. There is a mystery here that once you step in, once you surrender to the possibility that you don't need to know everything, then you can take the adventure. We've been taught the opposite for years. And so
yeah.
We have an incomplete sense of ourselves. We have a sinful picture or a type of predatory picture or a type of dark or cynical picture that we have fed ourselves upon. And this is one of the things that we have to do, which is to begin to shift creatively the assumptions about who we think we are. And one of the reasons why I love what's appeared in my studio, my Hieroglyph of the Human Soul, which began on 9/11 when the towers came down, but if people go to the website, they can see the images and realize the mystic.
Yeah, let's give
urgent.
That. I put it in the chat, but it's leemaklowski.com, and we're speaking now of the Hieroglyph of the Soul. If you can touch on this for our listeners.
Yes, this is...
What
this
is the Hieroglyph of the Soul?
Well, it is on 9/11. A little background, because... in terms of why I'm talking the way I am, it really doesn't come out of a type of opinion, but really a type of growth, almost like a garden that has, over the years, like my life, really grown to hold a deeper sense of our mythic story and journey as human beings, because I started professionally as an actor, which welcomed me, which was great, and I was able to, as I say, pursue a creative life as an actor, but the limitations in that life also then caused me to realize that I was given this great gift of having a home. And so I gathered and have gathered for over 30 years now discussion groups and really looked at both Eastern and Western, Hermetic, alchemical, all the ideas what I felt were what we had inherited as from the ancestors. It wasn't just how do we have a contemporary notion of who and what we are, but how do we draw from the richness of the journey that we call human. And so people would gather and they shared their generosity, because when you're talking from the heart and you're not speaking of critique, but you're really speaking to inspiration, people open up. And I feel that when people look at the hieroglyph of the human soul and see these images, to understand it's not me as a painter painting this, but really this is much more of a process of emergence that astounds me as much as everyone else, because it becomes multidimensional with three D glasses, which was unexpected. And it's coming out of, though, this great conversation of those of us that have gathered for so very long saying, you know what, even if this doesn't matter to the world, even if the world thinks I'm crazy because I love these things, I'm going to give them a place in my heart. I'm going to give them residence. And that's why the domestic metaphor here of my work, both professionally in the outer world, but then the creative home, this domestic metaphor within the home community has gathered to share a type of, as I like to say, sort of like Emerson, a sense of we are much more extraordinary than we have led ourselves to believe, and therefore let's gather and remember. And so I spent 17 years working on the major arcana of the tarot, not expecting to write a book, which I have, and really a very it's a book that I feel will transform people's perception of archetype and the knowledge of these inner landscapes, because again, like art, I didn't approach it as a type of belief system. I'm not interested in belief. I feel as an actor you can't afford to believe. You have to see what the energies mentor you with, and they will transform you, they will awaken you. And that's really what this tarot did, the archetypes. And they created what I see as the black, they're in black and white, and I say they become like the piano keys. They show us the notes, the differentiation that allows us to understand why we've gone through the time of the Father, this sense of we have learned hard and difficult lessons across the ages of the difference between things. That takes us back to Aristotle and all of that. And we've been journeying in terms of self-reflection, but why it's so interesting on 9/11 when the towers came down, I had a type of Noah moment. I just thought, you know, the last flood was the outer world and water. And I said, this is the inner world. And on 9/11, there was a sense of the boys of the apocalypse are at it again. You can't, you know, figure out what to do with Act 3, so you destroy everything. And I just found in my Hollywood years that was always the sign of hack writers. And what I looked at history as is an example of a lot of fine writing, and I thought, well, I'll start to tell a different story. And bingo, that's when this language called the Watcher language spontaneously erupted, and I have followed it now for over 10 years, and it has woven the story of our journey as beings that don't come from not knowing, but came from vast knowing and came here willingly, yearning to forget so that we could explore unique creation, unique awakening. And that's why I say, I go back to the domestic metaphor, it's saying that home, your heart, is your beloved. Cherish the unique intimacy of the journey that is your part of the human journey, because we're going to understand that each of us have asked questions for this great consciousness about what does it mean to be human. But we're all returning home to perceive that through our difficulties, through the fires of our lives, because we have to understand, and we all know, it's so hard to be human. It's a difficult journey. So we have to have compassion, not simply for ourselves, but for our ancestors, and to see that it's been a long and sorrowful, painful journey that we wear not simply in our own mind, but in our bodies, in our DNA, in our very weave. And that's why I do feel that there's an emergence now for you, and going back to the beginning of the conversation, so for individuals to say, let me trust these waters, because what's being dissolved is my resistance to the truth that maybe I've been a bud all this time, and it is time to allow myself to blossom. And that, to me, is the Aquarian metaphor. We are here to blossom, and a blossom understands the bud is the one. We follow the one. We are protected by the one. But finally, the one says, within you, each of you is a petal. If you surrender to the possibility of your own greater beauty, you will unfold with a remarkable opening that will take you beyond anything you ever thought possible. You are far more beautiful than you think. And that's why flowers open. And every
yeah.
spring they go,
it
oh
is,
my
it,
God,
it is
I never
that,
knew this inside of me.
It is that, yeah, it is that opening. And now, we do have a question from a caller. Hello, 317-837. You have a question for our guest, Lee McCloskey?
I think I forgot my question. I was just getting so involved in listening. But I wrote it down earlier. It's like, okay, the breath of life and the Creator's breath and the soul breathing is also important. But when you're watching someone die, when they lose the breath, they become alive. And they become alive in a big way as to actually be part of the Creator, but they're not breathing. So
yeah.
explain that.
Well, you know, it's very, I'd love to share with you. My father's passing, because he went into a coma. He was in his easy chair in his home, and he was 90. He was a wonderful painter. He was my great friend and mentor. Truly a philosopher sage, beautiful man. And I was stroking his hair, and I was reading Rilke and Walt Whitman to him, and I said, you know, Dad, I've got to admit, I never read the sonnets to Orpheus. And I heard him inwardly say, and he laughed, and he goes, never did myself. And I thought, my God, there's my dad. And I was reading the poems, and suddenly I felt an extraordinary pain in my left hand where I was stroking his hair. And I looked, and it was almost as if I was looking into Agni, this sense of really almost like where you're not supposed to look. But what mm-hmm. I saw coming out of the top of his head and through my left hand was a type of molten lightning bolt, umbilical connection. And mm-hmm. what was unfolding was not simply a type of chakra event, but as if the entire cosmos, that was almost like the Hubble spacecraft pictures, mm-hmm. were unfolding, and that it was the universe, consciousness having a day as Joseph. And
yeah.
at that point, I was told inwardly that this is the point where consciousness disengages from atomic, subatomic, quantum consciousness, and then it showed his book, essentially, as if it was the book of Joseph, which had fallen into the waters of time, and it started to show the ripples of the water, and in the ripples, all of the words in the book sort of floated in their own way into the stream, and from this floating up emerged then this pattern, which was my father's pattern, but as if experiencing that he wasn't dying, as you say, he wasn't dying from diminution, it was that the vitality of his greater life force could no longer hold the crosshairs of time and space, almost like a target. You know, if the horizontal and vertical were no longer able to line up, and what was happening was that as the ripples that were my father's life went through this vertical, I could almost sound, it's more of a sound, like, as it moved through this energy, on the other side was a flat pattern, but that it was, I looked up, and it was as if the book was being, all the waters were being pushed out of it, and so they were falling back into the waters of time, and it was saying that everything that was of the waters of life and time flow back into the resource, and the life now lived, of course, is part of this great Akashic library. And what was astounding to me was the sense that it wasn't the death through diminution. It was that death is when we can no longer resist our own greater vitality. And I heard my father say, because it said, you must understand with death that even in instant death, seemingly, that all parts of the body are shut down lovingly. And it told me that there
mm-hmm.
would be hours, as if rooms in the house, that they were all being sort of shut up and cleaned out, and the house was being vacated, and it would take 18 hours, but this sense, it was done lovingly, and that my father then, the last thing I heard him say, he said, I chose when to come, and I choose now to leave, and no hand could have brought me forth sooner, nor stayed my hand a moment longer. I choose now to leave. And there was this really enormous, almost just real universal sense of our true energy. And that, of course, really then has woven into a great deal of my optimism about this realization that we're moving from communication of I and thou, of the dead and the living, into communion, where when we understand the energies of love, there isn't time and space. But like love, it says, don't come to me with remembrance, but come to me now in communion. And I've been working on the theme of apples. And interestingly enough, my father, when he died, was working on a series of paintings of apples. And so there's this great communion now. Not communication, but communion, a sense of...
Yeah. And you feel that you connect with him. It's in you. You're in here. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because in my discussion groups, every Tuesday night, I always do a little bibliomancy. I always close with Emerson, who I adore absolutely. And it is as if, and I say it's not even as if, Emerson is listening, because whatever I choose always adds to and, in a sense, brings full circle whatever the discussion was about. It's astounding. But that's where I start to understand ideas aren't in form. I asked my dad about his legacy. I said, you know, Dad, what about your legacy? And he said, listen, don't worry about me or what I did. That's not interesting. The only thing that's interesting is look at my paintings. The best of me is there. Everything that ever mattered to me is in my paintings. And I thought, wow, that's talk about allowing yourself to live vibrantly and not fear death. He thought death, he said, death is more interesting than NASA. So, you know, I just honor that this sense that we're, you know, the ancestors are now telling us, don't be so afraid. Don't hold on. You're interesting than you think.
Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Oh, yeah, question? That's great. I might even have to save this and quote some of it because I'm writing a story about the end of her life. So
if you don't mind
if I quote from you.
No. Please do, because I feel it's our information that, you know, and for me, because as I said, as an actor, I had to trust this inward mentoring energy. I couldn't, you know, like if you're playing Hamlet, nobody can tell you how to play Hamlet. You sort of have to just play. You have to figure out, how do I let these qualities become self-informing? And that's what I feel about, like, if you're writing about this, mm-hmm. that realize that this is, of course, I'm sure you do, but it's mentoring you as well, because it's asking you to keep probing and realize it's not a fixed conversation, but really an implication that is now saying, what do we do with it? Now that we know the things that we know and we're being asked to adventure in ways we haven't before, what are we going to do with this opening world that we have? You know, and I think it's all part of the blossom. I really do.
It is. You know. Thank you very much. You explained that exactly as it happened. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Bless you.
Beautiful.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. And you've got the archive, too, if you need to go back and re-listen.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Archive. Yeah, exactly.
I do. I speak at times with a few arabesques.
Well, it's good to have the archives. Lee, you talk about this mentoring. You talk about that you were mentored, and then this whether you were acting, you know, film, TV, a play, writing, you know, painting. This mentoring. What can you share with others of how to tap in, listen to, or not be afraid of their own inner mentoring?
Well, again, it sort of goes back to the beginning when I said about being permission giving. You know, I think that one thing, if people can think about acting for a minute, you know, in a way, an actor looks at a role and realizes that every human being that they play is based upon assumptions. I am this and I am not that. And you figure out, oh, well, basically everyone's working in a type of assumption field. And they say, oh, I'm, you know, and you can catch yourself saying, oh, well, I'm not like that, or, oh, no, that's not me, oh, I never do that. In a way, there's a type of entrapment almost energetically, because we become defined by the negatives we think we are. Oh, I'm not that, or that's I'm not like that, or I don't like those people. And so we become, in a way, rather than mentored by our energies, tormented by them. Because what they are trying to do is to get us to accept the responsibility that I really believe we are all on this planet, not to perform in theater, but as conscious actors, meaning we are here assuming a unique role, but in a larger theater of life. So we are playing relationships with and for one another. And I think in terms of the mentoring, many times it is looking at, how am I viewing things? Do I view myself as isolated, or do I realize that my life is in relation to other lives? So like notes in a larger musical piece, I don't look at just my problems, so to speak, but I open to the sense that maybe my problems aren't what define me. They, in a way, evolve me to finally say, oh, I realize other people have problems, so I won't over-identify with my own, and I won't over-identify them with their problems. I'll start to think maybe these difficulties or problems ultimately open to a set of questions. Well, how can I shift from a type of gravity I've been carrying to saying I will introduce a more loving portrait of energy? And this is what I mean. In a way, it's almost like how we sculpt what we believe or what we are willing to accept to a great degree becomes the mentoring itself. Because all of the, you know, like when I would find myself out of body, I found one, and this is why it became so helpful in writing the book on the tarot, because I could really perceive how energy becomes form and how our etiquette, essentially, our manners dictates to what degree we are given help. Because in a way, if we rant and rave and are entitled, I say, and as a matter of fact, when I had an experience where I actually had a float tank for many, many years, and I remember I went in at one point thinking, you know, I've been working on this. I should be, you know, I've poured my blood into consciousness. I, you know, knock on the door, she'll open. What is this nonsense? Knock on the door, she'll open. And I went into the float tank, and I found myself suddenly, after a while, I was at a door of a type of monastery, and there was a door, and I was pounding on the door, and like a speakeasy, a little window opened up and said, "What? What? What do you want?" And I said, and I sort of ranted, "Knock and the door shall open. What does this mean? That's nonsense." And I hear this little voice behind saying, "What do you think we hear on this side?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't care." It said, "We hear only the sound of wild animals. We're not going to open this door." And so a little, like the hand of a four-year-old, the door opens just a crack, just long enough for a hand to dash out a pillow, pull itself back in, and all I heard was, "Learn patience." But I realize we try to storm the gates of these things. We try to take them by force. We try to change ourselves by intolerance to ourselves. And this is really saying we are an entirety, we are a system that is asking for a greater sense of tenderness, a greater sense of your energies will help you if you realize they are not out to get you. And where you see that they are out to get you, realize this is a reflection of your own resistance. If we think from a creative point of view, it's our difficulty that creates our craft. And we are artists of consciousness. We are ancient trees, and we have to get over this one face and time sensibility and start thinking about our roots. We come up in sheathed with all that has been before. That's a DNA truth. I'm not, you know, that's not metaphysics anymore. We are wearing the weave and the robes of the ancestors, and therefore all of the darkness and light, all the joy and sorrow of what it means to be human is ours. I say to people, stop thinking about your personal psychology. Everyone has human psychology that they experience personally. We have to invert the equation. Otherwise, we're lost in a hall of mirrors that says there's something wrong with me. And I'll tell you.
So inverting the equation, so if we're not coming always from the human, what? Tell us about that inversion.
That basically, when we tell ourselves, can you phrase the inversion question from your perspective? Because I could answer that a lot of different ways.
Okay, so when you're saying we need to turn this around, which I agree, because we're coming so much from the human experience, either, you know, what we haven't had, what we don't have, what we do have. Usually it's a lot of social conditioning or what's materially around us. And so a lot of times there can be a lot of a focus on, you know, limitation, lack and limitation.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What is that inversion to get us out of that, the little me, the little self? What's the inversion?
The human soul is the journey of the turning the corner of consciousness away from the knowledge of the mother, or I love, therefore I am, and the connection through love to the ancestors, toward the journey to the west of the mirror of unique identity and self-reflection. What's interesting on this journey toward unique identity and self-reflection is where we start to think we are incomplete, because we look at this reflection away from ourselves, thinking, that is God, that is something I must get to, I'm not there yet. So we start to lean forward into time and fall forward as if we are forever incomplete, forever hoping for that day where we finally arrive at a location mm-hmm. where we can stand erect finally and say, ah, now I feel whole. But the truth is that the wave essentially has gone all the way out in terms of self-reflection and has come back to the center. And in this hieroglyph of the human soul, in the centerpiece, we would find the face of Christ with a blind eye on the left leading toward the mirror of unique identity and self-reflection, and the scrolls, like the rabbi, the law, the stern father, meaning that we are going to go through a process of differentiation, which will be the sense that I am ever incomplete. And if we think about our religious structure, you are not that. That's what Joseph Campbell was getting at. He said, you know, religion tells us we are not that, whereas myth reminds us that we are this. And that's where it's very important, because this, the open eye of Christ in this work here takes us then into the knowledge of love and the Great Mother, the return of Sophia, the realization that she brings forth the knowledge of birth, creation, and origin, and we start to unite the first principle and the second principle. And so why I talk about the inversion is that when we turn away from thinking that we are an incomplete portrait, and we turn back into our DNA, and we say, wait a minute, though, I wear the robes of all creation. I am humankind in this unique face, but I am woven of all humankind. And this is what we get from Adam Kadmon in the Kabbalah, or the microprosopis and macroprosopis of the greater and lesser countenance, the microcosm and macrocosm, the holographic nature that we each, or the fractal nature that all qualities and conditions hold and recapitulate the whole. This is what life knows, because this is what, when we talk about whole, this is where we get the notion, not notion, the realization that we are whole and holy, meaning that we are the convergence of love and thought, standing in time to finally co-create, through our capacity to manifest, a garden that is neither outside of time, but essentially the combining is neither solely love nor thought, but lover and beloved rising to finally say we share the possibility of a new union or a new unique creation, which is what I'm seeing in this work, is the nature of our earth, that we came here to develop the capacity to hold a unique artistry of consciousness, and therefore we moved from a type of all-knowing, or let's say the Incan consciousness, where we knew our interconnectedness with all things, but we had a shared cosmology, into a mind, as Jung got at, where we individuate, meaning we separate from this sense of connectedness. But now, in this metaphor here, it says we're returning home, and so my sense of inversion is, when you take it personally and say, oh, I am not that, to say, I am stuck at the mirror studying myself. I'm looking at myself in reflection of how other people are. If I turn away from the mirror, if I turn back into the conversation, I will realize, like an actor on stage, every role is essential to the theater of the questioning of what it means to be human. Every role.
I love that. So every role is essential. Lee, we have a question in the chat room. Is our soul shared with the souls of our ancestors?
We are the souls of our ancestors. We arise. This is what I learned, because when I worked on the hieroglyph of the human soul, it began on the floor. So I spent 3.5 years on my hands and knees looking down, really in this type of child state where it wasn't looking to the future or past of where I had been or where I wasn't meant to be, but I kept looking down, and I painted. And once I discovered the 3D effect through my friend Don Estes, I started to see that what was occurring was that because I was no longer looking away and I had returned home, and I guess the underlying mythic element in this work is that on 9/11, when the towers came down, we really went back to our knees and a sense of where are we from. And this is why I say, when I talk about we the Egyptians, we the alchemists. I don't put it in the past tense. I think that when we see that we are actually the embodiment of an arc of an idea that has existed across the ages, like a tree gathering rings of experience, a capacity to finally create collectively a moment where we can say now that everything has emerged and there is no context, no overriding ideology, no pervasive cosmology, all the pigments are here, all the qualities are here, and this is when we move from a religious paradigm of belief into a mythic paradigm of adventure and begin to see that we have matured to finally take the training wheels off. But we have to do this, as I say, with baby steps, to begin to give ourselves permission to notice our, and then this has been the great gift for me, is that every transformative energy in my work that is transforming and certainly has transformed me is very loving and very much the qualities of the deep feminine that says, I will not do anything to harm you. You are my beloved. Every human being is born not into time but creation, and they are each my beloved. They come from my ocean, my depth. This is the knowledge of the feminine. And this is what returns.
Now, Lee, this brings us to another question in the chat. Is the new age in not looking in the mirror to see ourselves, but into the faces of our neighbors, acknowledging how connected we all are?
Yes. Yeah, and I think it's to hold both. You know, in a way, the trust is that I think we were very afraid of dissolving into a type of communal mind. And so we turned away into, you know, marked individuality. But now, what this, and it's coming from the hieroglyph, it's that we can hold the knowledge of our unique creation. This is the metaphor of the apple, and in this story of Eve, that her gift of the apple is the gift of our unique artistry of consciousness, meaning as the pain of separation from the mother, we separated from this loving source and connection to the ancestors. We walked the path of darkness and separation, but finally when we reach the mirror, and this is very important in this work because artists lie in the walls, and artists tell us it's not one vision, but vision that reveals our greater humanity. And so we're starting to see that maybe, just maybe, we've gone through all of these trials and tribulations in this bringing forth of a unique artistry. But the truth about unique artistry means it's the difference between being audience and participant. We've been taught through religion and science and all that you are passive. We'll do this for you. But when we think creatively, a musician knows, hey, no one's going to play the music if I don't play the music. You know, an actor knows, if I don't get up, it's never going to get done. And this is where I think if we think more as creative and imaginative beings rather than psychologically impaired victims, we will become much more enthusiastic that it is the yes of things rather than the yikes of things that transforms us. And when we go, yikes, that's when we should step forward, take a deep breath, and go, you know what, I'm not going to dissolve. I know that I have this unique identity, but maybe now I can be heroic and just say, what if? And that's why flowers blossom. It's not because they figure it out. They just say, what if? What if?
Yeah. I like how you touch on what you said, the fear, because there is, it has been, and there is that fear of mind or the communal mind or communal focus. You see that when people talk about connecting globally or when they talk of a global economy or people, anytime you get into too much group, there seems to be a really strong resistance saying, no, we can't go there, you know.
And as long as it is...
But we're already there.
Yes, and as long as it is as solely financial, political, and religious, we can't go there because it will always be one group dominating another, one claiming that their God entitles them to be brutal to another group of people, or their science allows them to say it's not the numbers who fall in the attainment of our goal, but rather the goal itself. I mean, you know, we've created a tyranny, but I see this now very alchemically. I got this when I was working upstairs on my couch on the sofa, and George Bush was working on SOFA, the Status of Forces Agreement. And I laughed heartily because I thought, you know, so much of this work was coming up of this feeling of I'm going to leave a message in a bottle. I'm going to tell my wife and children. I'm going to tell my friends why I think being human is a noble adventure and a noble enterprise. And that's where this was coming up.
Well, we got 45 seconds more, Lee, and we got to wind down.
So anyway, I laughed because I realized all of the things going on were catalyst, meaning that I joked because my work was to recouch our understanding of things, and although we were both working on SOFA, it's a huge conversation, and therefore we each need to understand it's not changing others, but taking ourselves into the truth that maybe, just maybe, by listening more and trusting ourselves more, we will get the guidance we seek, because it's only going to come through us, this true mentoring of our deeper energy. But it's there, it's present, so trust it.
It's there. That's a what a great message to get out, that it's there, but learning how to trust
that. It is there. That's what this work is saying. Art tells us that creation doesn't belong to the artist. It belongs to us.
We'll have to have you back again if you're open to that, because you've got some great insight. I also want to make sure people know that you have a three-day seminar coming up July 29th, 30th, and 31st at the Pacifica Graduate Institute.
And
that's
also 12 and a half hours of continuing education credit. So there is professional credits for social work.
Accreditation there.
Yeah, so that's really important.
Great. And it's on the psyche and the soul. People can find out more information about Lee and his discussion groups, his workshops, his work in general. And you can find that on his website, leemaklowski.com. Thank you, Lee, so much for being one of our Awakened guests. So much appreciate you for being on the program.
Thank you very much, and it was delightful, and have a great day, everybody. So thank you.
Thanks, Lee. And thank you, listeners, for being with us on Awakenings. Awakenings is what it is because of you. Our guest was Lee Maklowski. You can connect with him at leemaklowski.com for more information on his upcoming projects, as well as the three-day seminar that is coming up. Always great to connect with all of you. You can get more information on Awakenings by going to selfandlight.com, soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com, or, of course, our Facebook page, the Awakening Facebook page. Until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake. And we're ending with a little Liquid Mind music. We hold peace in our hands. Awakening airs every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific time. Readings, during grouping, patterning, dream therapy, connect on soul level, 5, and then always soul 5. The remaining of the program, we have Awakened guests. Awakening, again, is what it is, because of you. We can listen.